You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Michael Spinella. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Michael Spinella, and I'll be your host for the next hour. This is episode 293 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast, and I'm very pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, the editor of the Hockey News Montreal, the founder and the president of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. It's officially Habs offseason. How are you doing?
Hi, it's officially Habs off season. It's officially spring. It's officially the MLB season. F1 is running. We had the NFL draft this week. My Vikings picked their quarterback of the future and an edge rusher, and everybody made fun of Atlanta. So that was okay with me. And playoff hockey. I was going to say that the Canadiens aren't in the playoffs. Laval Rocket aren't in the playoffs. But there is one team in the Canadiens organization that's in the playoffs. And that's just one of the things we're going to be talking about today.
For sure. Jam-packed episode here in this first segment here. We do have some news, some roster news. We have some prospects to update everyone on. And then some news from around the NHL. In the second segment, we're going to turn back the clock and audit our bold predictions of 2023-24 Canadian season.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is this going to get ugly?
I'm going to cringe a little bit as we go through this. Of course, we made 10 bold predictions at the beginning of October, right when the season started. So we'll revisit that and see how well we did or how well we did not do. And then, of course, in segment three, we'll turn it over to our listeners. It's a Have Your Say segment, our Canadians Connection. Question of the week is, who do you dislike more, Leafs or Bruins? And for everyone interested in weighing in with that, what's the best way to do so?
You can reach out to us 24 hours a day on our Rocket Sports text line. It is 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. If you need the numbers, 585-376-2538.
You can also reach out to us on social media at Habs Connections, which you're going to want to follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, we have a website, CanadiansConnection.fm. And for those that might have a little bit more to say, we do have an email address as well, Rick.
We do. It is hello@rocketsportsmedia.com. I'll say it one more time, hello@rocketsportsmedia.com.
So, of course, no games to talk about as the season did come to an end, but let's highlight a memorable moment from this past week for the Montreal Canadiens in our Habs notebook here. Here is an interesting story. Former Canadiens goaltender Jake Allen appeared to join Sportsnet on a panel for playoff coverage. Jake Allen actually looks like a great fit. He seems to be a natural in the media. And, of course, a lot of people giving him some praises this past week.
Yeah, he looks very comfortable on the Hockey Night in Canada or Sportsnet panel. Doing analysis, he's very poised, and very knowledgeable. And I learned something in that he said, don't call it five hole goals. Talk about the goalie's triangle. If you need to learn about, goaltending, Jake Allen's the guy.
So make sure you check out Habs Notebook posts and feature articles appearing daily at thn.com/Montreal throughout this offseason. Taking a look at some roster news here, the Montreal Canadiens are one of 13 teams who have been assessed a penalty against next season's salary cap. So because of player bonuses, the Montreal Canadiens actually went into a cap overage this year. So that's going to penalize them next season. And of course, with the cap going up, I feel like it just ends up remaining flat for them going into next year. Is that about right?
It's kind of a good news, bad news situation. Good news because in order to get those bonuses, the players have to hit either ice time milestones or goals milestones. And so you have Justin Barron. He's going to get about an extra $200,000 for ice time. Same for Caden Gooley. We remember Yuri Slavkovsky. The $250,000 goal hit that 20 mark. He also had a bonus in there for ice time. Jaden Struble's another one. Sean Monahan for games played. There was an extra $15,000 in there. So in all, the Canadians are going to have an overage penalty of just over $1 million. Expecting, or it's projected, that there will be a $4.3 million increase in the salary cap next season. So they're, you know, maybe $3 million to the good. As well, remember that there's salary retention that's going to be on the cap next year. That's Jeff Petrie and Jake Allen. Salary retention coming off the cap is Joel Edmondson. And you know what? Finally, the buyout for Carl Alsner will be off the cap next year. So it's projected that the Canadians will have about $82.5 million to spend next season.
Looking at some more positive news here, Hockey USA made an official announcement that Cole Caulfield is one of the 15 players added to Team USA for the 2024 IIHF World Championship. He's going to be joined by a pretty good team. Shane Pinto, Jake Sanderson, Luke Hughes, and Dylan Larkin are some of the other players there. Looking forward to seeing what some of these other teams turn out and what Team Canada has as well. But I think, as expected, Cole Caulfield's going to have a pretty big opportunity to play for Team USA.
Did you mention Trevor Zegras? Because Trevor Zegras, they're going to be teammates, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. That'll be fun. I think he'd be a good center next to Caulfield.
Though. Any rumors do you think will come out of Caulfield on the same ice as, of course, they're very good friends. And plenty of Trevor Zegras rumors. Verbeek, if you're wondering, if you're keeping score, said that the team is looking for right-handed defensemen and right-handed forwards. So Canadians with an excess of forwards, like who? David Reinbacher, Mike Matheson, unfortunately. not Logan Mailloux. We don't want to see Logan Mailloux traded. But anyway, you've heard the scuttlebutt going around. Those are the kind of conversations. What you want to pay attention to, though, is, and these were official announcements from the team. We already had heard from Cole Caulfield. We had heard from Yuri Slavkovsky, but both the Team Slovakia and USA Hockey announced that the Canadians players would be officially part of the team. What you want to do is circle May 13th, because that's when Team USA plays Team Slovakia. In other words, Cole Caulfield versus Yuri Slavkovsky in the World Championships.
Looking forward to seeing that for sure. Talking about Yuri Slavkovsky a little bit more, the contract watch is on to give extensions to Caden Gooley and Yuri Slavkovsky. Both are restricted free agents. I'm curious to see how this is going to go, if Montreal might commit long-term right away or if they end up going for a little bit more of a bridge. We'll just have to wait and see here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that Caden Gooley, likely, unless the team is worried about the injury situation, but otherwise we could see long-term 7-year contract, $6.5 million for Caden Gooley. Yuri Slavkovsky, I'm guessing that Slavkovsky would want to wait. and have another, you know, he had half of a very good season that he'd want a full season to prove himself and to really cash in. So maybe a bridge contract is what's in order there.
Yeah, so we'll have that covered and we'll make sure that we talk about it as soon as everything is finalized. But for now, I think it's a good time to get to this week's winners and losers.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on the Canadiens Connection.
So a couple of winners to talk about this week. Just some good, wholesome, positive news. And I'll let you start this one off, Rick.
Well, we're continuing. Remember last week we talked about the summer of love? Not my words. That's how Jake Evans described what was going to happen this summer. Jake Evans is getting married. Brendan Gallagher is getting married. Josh Anderson, all three Canadiens players and their fiancés getting married this summer. And somebody else got engaged, and that was Nick Suzuki and his now fiance, Caitlin Fitzgerald. They announced their engagement this week on Instagram. They were in the Dominican Republic. And Nick popped the question, and Caitlin said yes.
Yeah, I'll have to take some notes from Nick Suzuki here. Doing a proposal in the Dominican Republic at a luxury resort. I mean, that's a dream right there, no?
There you go, yeah.
And our other other winner this week is Michael Pezzetta. A bit of a different note here, but Michael Pezzetta donated his hair to the Can Donate Hair Foundation. Canadiens forward has cut his hair at MAK Barbershop in Laval to donate it. And this organization makes free wigs for children who lose their hair due to cancer treatments. So Michael Pezzetta also has a personal goal to raise $5,000 for Can Donate as well. So this is certainly a great organization here. Happy to see Michael Pezzetta getting involved in the community. And a little bit sad to see the hair go. It looked good on him, but I'm sure it'll grow back. I think it's going to good use, though.
Oh, great cause. Absolutely great cause. And we got a chance to hear from Michael Pezzetta, who explained what he did here.
Hey, guys. Not sure who that is. No, it's Michael Pezzetta here. As you can tell, I cut my hair. But it's for a great cause. And this program and this company Can Donate Hair, they're volunteers from Quebec, and they raise money and they make wigs for children who suffer from cancer and have lost their hair, so that these volunteers make these wigs so that these children can feel like themselves again. So that was something that meant a lot to me, and I figured my hair was a big part of my look, and I was hoping that I can help give my hair to someone and they can feel like themselves again.
Nicely expressed, a great cause, and yeah, it's a big deal because it was such a part of his identity, especially when he puts those cowboy hats on and the flows coming out the back, and I expect we'll see that back again in the fall, but for now, he was able to do something significant to make a donation.
For sure. No losers this week, but I get the feeling with the playoffs underway, we will have some coming soon, so stay tuned for that. For now, we'll get to this week's Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world. Bookmark thn.com/Montreal to follow our comprehensive coverage of Canadiens prospects.
So each week through the season, we were highlighting one Montreal Canadiens prospect. And this week, I think we'll just update you on all the Montreal Canadiens prospects remaining in their respective playoffs. And there's three of them to start to Owen Beck for the Saginaw Spirit. 10 points through 12 playoff games right now. Only one game played so far in the final for Saginaw. It was against the London Knights. They were up 3-1 at one point, but they blew the lead, so they're down 1-0 in that playoff series there. Going across the pond to Europe, taking a look at Adam Engstrom, who's still in the playoffs, playing for Rogel BK. 4 points throughout the playoffs so far. Rogel is down 2-1 in a best-of-seven series in the SHL final. And finally, Vincennes Rohrer playing for the ZSC Lions in 8 games, 2 points. It's the Swiss National League final, best-of-seven as well. and his team is up 3-2, so he has a chance to close that one out. So we'll keep you up to date on all Montreal Canadiens prospects competing in some sort of a playoff.
I'll just say, go London Knights. Sorry, Owen Beck.
Fair enough. Update on goaltending prospect Emmett Croteau. He has announced that he's switched colleges for next season. He's transferred over to Dartmouth.
Yeah, and Emmett Croteau, a prospect, another goaltending prospect, maybe we don't hear enough about. Remember last season he was in the USHL, his first season in the NCAA. Unfortunately, didn't get much of a chance. It was a quiet season for him. With Clarkson, he only played six games, and in that he struggled. His numbers not great: 353 goals against, 835 save percentage. Dartmouth, their starting goaltender was signed by Florida, so there should be an opening there. Croteau will have more of a chance to play, a chance to get into a rhythm. So he went into the transfer protocol and will now be at Dartmouth next season.
Yeah, looking forward to and hopefully being able to see him play some more games. He's been in the Montreal system for a few years now, but unfortunately, like you said, we haven't heard a whole lot about him, and I feel like that's connected to how much he's really played in the last few seasons.
Yeah.
This week in Laval, and it feels like it's been a while since this game did happen, but on April the 20th, that was last Saturday, Laval played their final game of the season. Going into this one, they had already been eliminated from playoff contention, but this was the final home game, and it was against the Belleville Senators. They lose 2-1. So a lot of players just kind of going through the motions here. Belleville was actually outshot by a pretty big margin after 40. Laval was actually up 1-0 heading into the third, but Belleville quickly erased that lead and go up 2-1 to end things. And unfortunately for Laval, they end the season missing the playoffs and not on a losing note. Their record was 33-31, 6-2. That's 74 points, seventh place in the North Division.
Yeah. That game, not very meaningful to either team. Belleville sat a ton of their starters, and you'd expect that. The list of penalties was certainly longer than the list of scoring that was going on in that game. Tough game for Laval in front of their fans with nothing to play for. Losing that and actually dropping a place, so finishing in the bottom of the North Division, behind even the Utica Comets this season. A difficult season for the Laval Rocket. And listen, Jakub Dobas did everything he could. He played a million games. He played a million games down the start. He played his heart out. I think of any player on that team, certainly Logan Mailloux was terrific. But I would, if I was giving an MVP to that group, I would have to say that would go to Jakub Dobas, because the way he started and the way he finished the season, a huge improvement, and really carried the Laval Rocket to even have a chance to make the playoffs. So congratulations to the players there who had good seasons. And there's going to be some changes, obviously, and those are things we'll keep an eye on going forward.
And with Laval's season coming to an end, Toby Bizon issued a bit of a weird apology, talking about how he felt like if there were more veterans on the team, that would have helped them out quite a bit. But what exactly went down here, Rick?
Yeah, he was pretty critical. Toby Bizon was pretty critical of the second last game of the season, and remember, there was a flotilla of NHL players or players from the Montreal Canadiens that were sent down to Laval to help them after the Canadiens' season was over. Jaden Struble, Logan Mailloux had been up for that one game, Justin Barron, Justin Barron and Logan Mailloux manned the quarterbacks on the Laval power play. So obviously you're going to put those guys in the lineup. Luke Tuck was a late add. Florian Xhaka was a late add. Bisson was very critical after the game on Friday night. He was bitter about the loss, obviously. And then in the garbage day, the cleanup day, the end of season media, it was clear that somebody had spoken to him, and he begrudgingly gave somewhat of an apology. And I'm going to quote from Toby Bisson, "I'm going to be careful about what I say. It's not hard to make the playoffs. We grinded all year. The guys together, they need to come back. Young people, we prioritize young people here." Not really. It's nothing against those young guys. They did a really good job. They were incredible. But I was speaking more for the guys who weren't playing. I felt it was bad for them. The Arne Durandos, Olivier Galipos, who had been doing really well. So he was. I mean, really, you're worrying about Gallopo not being in the lineup when you have an opportunity to reinsert Justin Barron and one of the best defensemen in the AHL this year and the best rookie defenseman in Logan Mailloux. So yes, he was upset, and to me it just spoke, you know, he was speaking from especially his criticism the day before, from a place of entitlement that, you know, this was a veterans team, the veterans get priority, and he was very put out that somehow the organization would send down these guys to take places. And it spoke about the philosophy, I think, that Jeff Uhl has instilled there in prioritizing. He loves his veterans, and you're going, if you're a veteran, you're always going to get to be on the ice if there's an important face-off to be taken or on the special teams roles. And I think expressed very in a roundabout way by Toby Bisson.
Yeah, I guess funny that he starts that off by saying that he has to be careful about what he says and then proceeds to not really hold back. Look, I understand the frustration with missing the playoffs and everything, but I just feel like statements like this, it really discredits the effort of some of the young players that were very successful. You mentioned Mailloux. You also mentioned Jakub Dobis. I think that this team wouldn't have even been close without those two players. I don't know that I agree with his mentality that they needed to play the veterans ahead of either of those two players, at least.
And I think so. This is a clip that's from two summers ago when Amy Johnson and I interviewed JF Uhl. And this will give you a sense of the mindset of JF Uhl. Remember, JF Uhl is, there's contract negotiations going on. His contract expires on June 30th. And should the Laval Rocket, should the Montreal Canadiens organization bring him back or not, given that there's going to be such an influx of, even more so, of young players next season in the fall. And we asked JF Uhl how he changes his approach. And this was when the start of the young players were arriving. How he changes his approach to coaching in welcoming young players to the team.
Doesn't change very much on what we do. You know, maybe in practices, you know, a little bit more of a development side of it. The like Frankie Bouillon might come in, and Adam Nicklaus might come in a little bit more often and work with some of our players, but. As far as us and Laval, you know, we still want to, you know, develop in a winning environment. For us, it's going to be, you know, we feel like we're going to have, even though we might be younger, we're still going to have a very good competitive club. And, you know, we're going to put everything forward for the players to develop and try to win as many games as we can for our great fans in Laval.
Yeah, we're going to put all our focus on winning games for the fans in Laval. And he went on this season to, after the end of the season, to say they have to insert veterans, otherwise they won't sell any tickets. I don't understand his mindset, but that is his mindset, that they need local players, they need veteran players for fans to come out. I would think that having a Logan Mayhew, a Davin Rhinebacker to come out and see, Jakob Dobas, Emil Heineman, Sean Farrell, the prospects, Joshua Waugh was there, and he was the other one that I missed going back. I remember he had that hand injury, and he recovered, was cleared to play that second last game in Laval, then got suspended for the final game. But you heard him say there, the development, well, that's for practices, and we farm that out to people like Adam Nicklaus and Frankie Bullion. And we remember this season, Scott Pellerin and Adam Nicklaus completely ran one of the practices, and JF Wool and his staff were just standing there watching. It seems like JF Wool doesn't see development within his role. Now, if they sit him down and with Cedric and the GM, the new GM, and Hughes, and they say, listen, this is our focus, this is our priority. Can he change? Maybe he can. But those veterans already have it in their mind, if they bring anybody back, that they get the priority. So remember Kent Hughes saying, we explained to our veterans, we explained to David Savard, that they are support players, that we're developing a young core, and all of our veterans in Montreal have been told that they need to support the young players. I don't think that message has gotten across in the same way necessarily in Laval, and that's going to have to, especially prior to next season.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And with that, JF Wool's contract is set to expire on June 30th. We'll keep an eye on what happens here. As of now, I believe there are no decisions being made. Personally, if I wanted to speak from my opinion, I feel like you maybe want to bring someone else in that's a little bit more focused on development. But again, that's out of our hands here, and we'll see what happens. We'll certainly talk about it as soon as we get a final answer.
Yep.
Moving down one more league to the Trois-Rivières Lions, and this is the one team within the Montreal Canadiens organization that's actually in the playoffs. So a little bit of excitement there. They're in the ECHL playoffs, the first round against Norfolk. And going back to last Saturday on April the 20th, they lose 2-1. That gave Norfolk a lead of 2-1 in the series as well. And just the other day on April the 24th, the Trois-Rivières Lions lose yet again to Norfolk, 6-3. That gives Norfolk a 3-1 lead in this series. Tonight, the Trois-Rivières Lions will be facing elimination. So far in goal, Zachary Amond has started every single game for the Lions. In four games, he's had 13 goals against. And meanwhile, leading the way offensively is Cedric Montminy with 6 points.
And if you've been listening to us all season, you know we promote Chris G and his Lions notepad that comes out every single Monday, summarizes everything that's happened in the week. Well, during the playoffs, and particularly, as you said, because the Trois-Rivières Lions are the only team of the Canadiens organization that's in the playoffs, Chris has been doing a recap after every game for you. So you want to head to thn.com/Montreal for those recaps about the Trois-Rivières Lions.
And if you didn't already know, we also cover the hockey news for the QMJHL. You can head over to thn.com/QMJHL. And on there, you will find a brand new article put out by Joe this past week talking about rivals. What's this one about, Rick?
Yeah, well, we're moving along in the QMJHL playoffs to the next round. And Friday saw the start of Drummondville versus Victoriaville, an old rivalry. Want to keep up on that. Joe Tasca is your guy. He's our reporter for the QMJHL. So you want to check that out. Just before we leave the ECHL, I'll go too far from it. You did an excellent job pronouncing the Norfolk Admirals. And last week we got a text in saying you need to correct yourselves on Worcester. And I think there was a little different pronunciation used there last week. So we're always happy to acknowledge any kind of mistakes, and we're happy to do that.
Yeah, and this week you did hear me say Norfolk a bunch of times. I made sure I said it a bunch of times the way I was told. So just to get that out of the way, and like I said, we appreciate the corrections there. We'll keep doing our best with pronunciations.
Yeah.
So with that, you can find all of our content on Montreal Canadiens prospects at thn.com/Montreal. And you can find excellent English language coverage of the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League at thn.com/QMJHL. Taking a look at hockey news from around the league, the NHL draft lottery is scheduled for Tuesday, May the 7th. So mark your calendars. We will be doing some coverage of this. Right now, the Montreal Canadiens have an 8.5% chance at that first overall pick.
And we know, most importantly, of course, once a year I do it, just once. I don't take multiple attempts. I do the tankathon, run the sim once, and what happened? The Canadians in my one, and that's never happened before, where I've got it where the Canadians jump up to the number one position. That happened this year. I posted it in our Slack group, a screenshot of it for our contributors. And so we'll see if that comes true.
Yeah. So fingers crossed, grab your horseshoes and four leaf clovers. And May 7th is a night to have that all prepared. The Athletic released its rankings of first overall picks from the past 10 years. And, of course, topping the charts with 1 and 2 are a couple of Connors, McDavid and Bedard, respectively. Coming in at number 5, one Macklin Celebrini, who's yet to go number 1, but he's projected to be the first overall pick in that upcoming draft. And one Montreal Canadiens prospect rounds things out at number 10 with Juraj Slafkovský. So nice to see him on there.
Yeah. So looking at the first overall picks, and I understand this is an article by Corey Pronman. He's trying to give some context about where Macklin Celebrini fits in over the last 10 years relative to the other first round picks that have been taken. Of course, McDavid first, Bedard second, and Austin Matthews listed third. And for Juraj Slafkovský, listed last, and this was a survey that he did of six NHL executives and scouts. This isn't his own ranking. This is folks that are in the business rank these first overall picks. And the knock against Slafkovský wasn't necessarily him personally, but that entire draft class saying that there was no one they could get overly excited about, Shane Wright, Logan Cooley, Juraj Slafkovský, at that point. Now it's up to Juraj Slafkovský to prove them all wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And he may have proved us a little bit wrong, but we'll get to that in the next segment. So we'll hang on to that for now. We did have a coach firing this past week. The San Jose Sharks let go of David Quinn on Wednesday. David Quinn was hired a couple weeks before the San Jose Sharks traded away Brent Burns and started the teardown. Difficult job for a coach to be in for a couple of seasons at least. And I think based on what the San Jose roster is, in my opinion, he was adequate, although last in the entire NHL this season.
Yeah, as some people predicted that they would be last. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. If you're counting at home, that's 16 head coaching changes this season in the NHL. So half the teams change their coaches. I think that's the most notable stat there.
For sure. Utah fans seem to be quite excited to welcome the brand new NHL team at the Delta Center this past week. Of Of course, the Arizona Coyotes being relocated to Utah. They'll just be an unnamed team for the moment. But nice that they received such a warm welcome. And I think this is something that a lot of these players were just not used to at this very moment.
They were shocked. I think they came off the plane, a Delta plane, right next to a hangar on the tarmac that was filled with players from the Utah minor league hockey program who were going crazy. The sound was incredible as the players came off the plane, and you could see in their eyes they were just absolutely stunned by that reaction. And then they went into the Delta Center downtown and were introduced to, it was a sold out arena, 12, 15,000 people that were there to welcome the new team. Ryan Smith doing a great job putting this all together. Andre Tourney said, "I've been in the NHL 8 years. This was my best day." And the other thing in that player introductions that I learned, I didn't know, Liam O'Brien introduced himself. He said, "Hi, I'm Liam, O'Brien. You can call me Spicy Tuna."
Oh.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting nickname. I'd be curious to know where that comes from. Certainly, name Liam O'Brien, Spicy Tuna. I thought, see the connection.
I thought that Thomas Tatar had the rights, the copyright on that, but...
Oh, yeah, that is
the
true.
Tuna part, yeah.
But just before we head into break here, we're going to end things on a little bit more of a sadder note. Former Hockey Night in Canada play-by-play broadcaster Bob Cole died at the age of 90. Bob Cole called hockey for 5 decades. He passed away in St. John, surrounded by family. So all of our thoughts and prayers go out to Bob Cole's friends and family.
And now a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
So coming up, we'll hear a new message from our sponsors, DraftKings, and then we'll get to our big topic segment, auditing our bowl predictions for the 2023-24 Canadian season. This is Canadians Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way till hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. The big question is, which game or series or team are you betting on first? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the Canadians Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Michael Spinella, and you can find me on Twitter at The Spinella. With me in the studio is our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Rocket Sports. Also, make sure that you're following at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, you can check out our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. Just a little reminder here to make sure that you are subscribed to the Canadians Connection Podcast in the player or on your favorite podcasting app. That way you never miss a single episode. And Rick, in last week's episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, we graded the Canadian season, the management, the individual players. And this week it's time to evaluate ourselves, specifically going back to the 10 bold predictions we made at the beginning of the season and see how we did. Were any of our predictions right? Where were we wrong? We'll tally up the scores here. Of course, these 10 bold predictions came on Canadians Connection episode 264, entitled 10 bold predictions for the 2023-24 Montreal Canadiens. It came out on October the 7th, and we had a panel of Amy Johnson, myself, and you, Rick. And Rick, are you feeling confident about these predictions at all?
Well, I don't know about that. And listen, in all in defense, it's actually hard. We talked about this. It's hard to transport yourself back to the preseason with the information that we were working on, with the assumptions about what was to come, and we were trying to be a little bit bold, as the episode suggests. So we'll just ask not to be too harsh in your criticism, but we did the best that we could then, and it's actually kind of fun to look back and see where we were on track and where we were way off track.
Yeah, a lot happens over the course of 82 games, of course. And if you think about where things were back in October before we saw this team play in the regular season, it was a weird summer. I think the Montreal Canadiens didn't have a great preseason either. I think they may have actually just won their first preseason game in a few seasons at least. So just to give a little idea of where the headspace was at with these Montreal Canadiens. And with that, are you ready to start with question one?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the question was, who will lead the Canadiens in points this season, and how many points will they record? Of course, the previous year, it was Nick Suzuki who led the Montreal Canadiens. And, well, as we ended up finding out, Suzuki ended the season with 77 points. And, Rick, where did our predictions end up? Well, I said Nick Suzuki is going to lead the way with 68 points. You said Suzuki with 75. Amy said Suzuki with 80. So we agreed on the player. We got the player right. But you come in very, very close to what the actual total was, with Suzuki getting 77.
I'm giving myself the win here, and to put a big check mark beside that one, within 2 points. And remember, we talked about all season how Suzuki was just a torrid pace after the All-Star game, and was looking to be that point a game player in the first since Alex Kovalev in 2007. Didn't quite get there, but obviously had a very good season, and I'm pleased with my estimate there at 75 points, with him finishing at 77.
So keeping along the theme of offense, our next question we asked, who will provide the offense this season for the Canadiens? Will Cole Caulfield score more or less than 45 goals this season? Of course, the season before, he played 46 games, scored 26 goals, and this season he ended up scoring 28 goals. Well, where did our predictions come in? Well, we were pretty specific, actually. We ended up giving out actual numbers, but the question being more or less than 45 goals. We all said less. I said 35. Rick, you said 44. Amy said 43. We're all just a little bit too optimistic here, maybe. A little bit off, and like I said, Cole Caulfield, still the greatest 40-goal scorer to not reach the 40-goal plateau yet.
I love that phrase. But yeah, I'm going to give check marks to everybody because we all said less. Everybody gets one, except you get two check marks for that one because you're closest with 35 goals. Are you wondering why Cole Caulfield was so much had so many fewer goals than our projections? Well, maybe we didn't take into account the effect of his surgery, his rehabilitation. And that's why we have Dr. Morris on our staff. And he explained it a couple of podcasts back. You're going to want to listen to that episode as far as when he's going to get back to normal and have a fluid. We mapped it out as far as his accuracy, as far as his speed. All of that. You're going to want to go back and listen to that podcast, CanadiansConnection.fm.
And with this next question, here's where I think it starts to get pretty interesting, and there's a little bit more deviation. The question we asked is, will Alex Newhook record more or less than 40 points in the NHL this season? The season before, he was coming off of an 82-game season where he put up 30 points, and this season, it was cut short a little bit over 50 games, but put up 34 points. So the question being more or less than 40, I predicted less. I said 35, so I'm off by 1 point on this one. But Rick, you and Amy both said more. You said 42, Amy said 44. And I think, unfortunately, here with Alex Newhook not playing an entire NHL season this year, a little bit over 50 games, I ended up being very correct on this one.
Wow. Congratulations. I remember this question. And again, put things in the context of the fall. We remember that we weren't terribly pleased as a group about what was given up to get Alex Newhook, because looking for, the Canadians had that late first round pick, early second round pick, traded both away in order to get Alex Newhook. And as you said, you were the closest, absolutely. Was he on pace for a 40-point season? Well, maybe if he had played the full season. And when I answered that question, and the question was, will Alex Newhook record more or less than 40 points? My answer was, he better, very angrily, because of what was given up to get him. Didn't happen. Injuries were involved. And congratulations, you were very close on that one.
Yeah, although I believe this was a really good season for Alex Newhook. So not to discredit him getting to where he did, I think that was perfectly fine. And all in all, kind of exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
Next question. We went to Juraj Slafkovský, and I'm just going to preemptively say I feel like we didn't realize the season he was about to end up having. A little bit off here, but the question we asked is, will Juraj Slafkovský tally more or less than 35 points this NHL season? Keeping in mind, in his rookie season, he played 39 games and only put up 10 points. This season, he got to the 50 mark. I predicted less than 20. Rick, you predicted less than 20. Less, but no number. And then Amy predicted less as well, with 27 points being that prediction. And Juraj Slafkovský making us look a little bit silly here, but again, putting things in context, at the beginning of the season, especially coming out of that preseason, Juraj Slafkovský didn't look particularly good to start.
Yeah, you meant use the word with respect to Newhook, exceeding expectations. I think that happened with Juraj Slafkovský. The first half of the season was awful. He looked like a gazelle on ice. He looked like the speed of the game was moving much too quickly for him. So he was out of sync physically, mentally, the whole works. And then, depends on who you ask, was it Nick Suzuki? Was it Marty St. Louis? Somebody came up with the idea of putting Juraj Slafkovský on the top line and being mentored by Nick Suzuki, and things started to click for him. And the second half of the season is where he shone and provided a glimpse of what he can be in the future.
Yeah, I personally am looking forward to hopefully doing another Juraj Slafkovský points question in the fall, maybe raising the limit a little bit more, but that's going to be an interesting one to debate when we get to that episode.
Well, and the question will be, will Juraj Slafkovský continue to play on the top line, or hopefully Kirby Doc is going to be back. He'll be back for a full season. And is that where you'd want to see a Kirby Doc? You want to see a Juraj Slafkovský.
The next question we asked was in regard to goaltending. So the question here is, will any Canadiens goaltender win more than 21 games this season? At this point, when we asked this question, it wasn't completely clear what Montreal was going to do with Caden Primo. I think we were still waiting to see if we might end up on waivers. And in fact, we didn't get to see Primo in action for the first few weeks of the NHL season. So with that, that maybe weighed into what we ended up answering. But the season before, in terms of wins, why did we ask this question? Well, Montembeau, the previous season, had 16 wins. Allen had 15. And the end results here, Montembeau, another 16 wins. Primo with 8 wins. Jake Allen with 12 wins. And we all predicted that no goaltender would win 21 games. So we ended up being correct here.
Yeah, I think if you presented this question to the Montreal media, they would have a very different answer. it wasn't necessarily a great season for as we talked about. If you look at goals saved above expected, Caden Primo is 30th in the league. Sam Montembeau 31st in the league. And Caden Primo with better numbers on save percentage, goals against. It was just an okay season, I think, for the goaltenders. Much better once the three-headed goalie situation got sorted out.
Yeah, for sure. Next question we asked is actually kind of a fun one. Will Arbor-Jacki fight more or less than 11 times this season? And, of course, Arbor-Jacki coming off a season where he had 9 fights in 59 games. I think we're all pretty excited, and the narrative, at least to start, was, all right, who's Arbor going to fight next? The answer, of course, was Ryan Reeves. And once that happened, it was like, all right, who's he going to beat up next? And, well, he ended up with 5 NHL fights this season. I predicted more. I predicted 12. Rick, you said less, and you were predicting 10. And Amy was predicting more with 13. So congratulations to you, Rick, predicting less. And I think you had some insight here in terms of saying that Arbor was going to be more selective in terms of fights.
Yeah, I said he was going to be more selective. And just from, he had proven that he was a tough guy in his first year. I said he's going to be more selective in his second year. He was, but what we didn't know, what nobody knew, what the Montreal trainers didn't know, is that he was hiding an injury, a shoulder injury that he had experienced in junior hockey and was nagging him. And that was the reason that he was much more selective about fights in this last season. He did have that sort of fight brawl, Ryan Reeves, early in the season where he pushed him against the back of the net. There was a memorable one against Tanner Jeannot when they played Tampa, Ross Johnson, Anaheim, Eric Chernak, Tampa again. And as you said, 5 fights. He had 2. Remember, there was a stint in Laval, and he didn't really fight, certainly not right away in Laval, but he ended up with 2 fights. One was Brendan Saulnier against Belleville, of course. Those are pretty rough games. But far fewer fights for Arbor-Jacki this past season.
The next question, keeping on the theme of defensemen, it's going to be interesting to try and put the context here in terms of the frame of mind we were in when we asked this, but we asked, who will play more games at defense for the Canadiens this season? And the options were Matthias Norlander, Logan Mailloux, Gustav Lindstrom, or William Trudeau. And I think you have to keep in mind, we didn't really realize what we had in a Jaden Struble at that point. Otherwise, he would have been a shoo-in on this list for sure. And we all ended up picking, well, 2 of us, you and I picked Lindstrom, Amy picked Mailloux. We were correct. Lindstrom out of this group played the most games with 14 games as a Montreal Canadian, but a little bit lackluster with those other options, no?
Yeah, 1 game for Mailloux, and that was terrific that he got the opportunity in the last game of the season, but it was Lindstrom. Do you remember Lindstrom? He was...
Barely.
Yeah, exactly. It was... he was on waivers, claimed by the Anaheim Ducks during the season, but managed to get into 14 games for the Canadiens, and so we're absolutely correct. They're absolutely correct.
Yeah, for sure. The next one was a little bit more rapid fire, and this was looking towards the trade deadline. What I will say is, and I'll bring this up again, we are coming off a summer where Kent Hughes traded a first and second round pick in exchange for Alex Newhook, which we were personally not big fans of at that moment. And I feel like that really influenced what our answer is here. So David Savard was the first player mentioned in terms of who was going to be traded at the trade deadline. I said yes, you said yes, Amy said no. And here he is, still a Montreal Canadian. And
that was a mistake. That was a mistake.
Like he could have been traded at one point, no?
Yeah, I think that this was a mistake. And Kent Hughes has an opportunity to remedy that mistake. There is no way that David Savard can be a part of the Canadiens roster next season with the number of defensemen that are knocking on the door. And, you know, I know there's fans out there that are saying, oh, hang on to him and trade him at the trade deadline. But that doesn't come till March, and he's will have occupied a position until then on defense. Plus, there's a chance he's going to get injured. Plus, there's a chance that the Canadiens are going to be a playoff team next year, and then you're not going to trade David Savard, and he's going to leave for nothing. So, yes, let's trade David Savard.
But I will say, too, I do remember some David Savard trade talk happening maybe around December, January this year. And in fact, he appeared on some trade boards, and then there was a little bit of pushback, and he kind of just completely disappeared from that conversation. So we'll see. I agree with you. I think this summer will be the right time to move on from a Savard.
Yeah.
Next player on this list was Sean Monahan. And I feel like this may have been the free space. We all said yes, that he was going to get traded, and that, in fact, he was, and it was for a really good return. So I don't think we have much more to add to that one.
Well, I'm just adding check marks there for everybody.
Perfect. Gets even easier here with Josh Anderson. Is he going to move before the trade deadline? And we were, again, a unanimous no's across the board, and no, he was not traded, although I don't think we knew at that point that he was going to go a few months before scoring his first goal.
No, that's true. This wasn't the slam dunk kind of no for this one, because remember, prior to not this last trade deadline, but the year before, Kent Hughes said his phone was ringing off the hook for general managers looking for Josh Anderson.
Next name on the list here is Christian Dvorak, and we weren't completely in agreement here. You and I both said no. Amy said yes, that Montreal would trade him before the deadline. Of course, Christian Dvorak was not traded. Could have been more due to the injuries that he had. He didn't play too many games this season. That might have had an impact. But again, this is another player where maybe I'm looking at the offseason here.
Yeah, it was January where he went out with that abdominal injury, wasn't expected to return, was thought to be out for the season, as we know. Made it back for a couple of games before the season was over.
And at this point, it was newly acquired Tanner Pearson. Remember when Casey DeSmith was a Hab? Yeah, that was a time, and Tanner Pearson was one of the pieces that came back to Montreal when they moved his contract out the door. Was he going to be traded before the trade deadline? Again, unanimous no based, and we agreed that there just wasn't going to be value there. I believe you said that you were expecting him to go on waivers at some point. Didn't end up happening. Oh, did it?
No, I said that's exactly what I said. Because the Vancouver Canucks said that they didn't have room for him. They were going to put him on waivers. And so I thought they knew best, but I was wrong about the Canadiens being void of, bottom six talent. So,
absolutely. And at this point, too, Yoel Armia was looking like he might not make the NHL team out of camp. He spent some time in Laval to start the year. And was he going to get traded before the next trade deadline? And we all said no. We were right about that one, but good turnaround season from Yoel Armia, at least. And this is another player where I'm going to keep saying this, looking towards the offseason here, maybe this is an option.
I fully agree.
And Mike Matheson, who ended up being pretty controversial this season, were our predictions for if he was going to get moved? I said no. You said no. Amy said yes. He's still here, but should I say it again? Offseason?
Well, my brain said no, that he wasn't going to be traded. I was hoping in my heart that Amy was right. And listen, we don't dislike Mike Matheson. It's just what he does to the entire defense is built around him. I feel personally that it should be built around a younger player, a Caden Gooley, instead, and not a Mike Matheson. He shouldn't be getting all the power play time and the PK time and the 26 minutes of time. So I think that would free up. And given the offensive season he just had, would bring back a young with some draft picks added and whatnot. Maybe bring back a young potential forward for the Canadiens roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think Mike Matheson in the right situation could be a great fit on a team, not as a first pairing defenseman, but maybe someone lower in the lineup, maybe not someone that's doing the first power play unit, but again, like a second power play unit. Still a useful player, still very talented, but the way he's been utilized in Montreal, I think it's just not been a good fit.
That's right.
And, the next question we asked here in regards to the trade deadline is, will Kent Hughes acquire another first-round pick? And, again, knowing what I know now, I feel like this should have been a free space. Oddly enough, we all said no here. And, again, I think that is probably because we saw Kent Hughes acquire an Alex Newhook in the offseason for a first and a second. We were thinking that Kent Hughes was going to maybe target a prospect over a first-round pick, right?
Well, yes, and also, I think that we're looking at Sean Monahan. Sean Monahan was the most likely to be traded. We all said, yes, Sean Monahan will be traded, but a little skeptical that he could get back to the form because he had spent the previous season, for at least half of the season, injured. So we didn't predict that he would so easily be able to get back to the form he did. He had a great first half of the season in Montreal, did well second half once he was traded, and very worthwhile that first round pick.
Yeah, so I think that we'll take the loss on this one, and we're happy about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We started asking questions more about prospects at this point, and this one was about Jacob Fowler. Will Jacob Fowler represent the USA at the World Junior Championships, and will he be a top goalie? So he was at the World Junior Championships. He was not the top goaltender. You and Amy predicted that correctly. I said no, and I was very wrong. I didn't realize how good Jacob Fowler was at that point. So I'll look dumb here, and I'll be happy about it. Is that okay?
Happy to be wrong, sure.
And I guess the final question, the second last question before we get to the bonuses, in regards to Lane Hutson, will Lane Hutson be the Hobey Baker Award winner? Last season, it was Adam Fantilli. This season, it was Macklin Celebrini, which I think was a bit of a surprise to us. But as the season went along, it was probably the right choice. I said no, Lane Hutson was not going to be winning the Hobey Baker Award. I was right in that regard. I was saying Ryan Leonard, but that part was wrong. I think I still got a check mark. Rick, you said yes to Lane Hutson winning. That was wrong. Amy was very correct in saying no, he won't win, but will be a finalist.
Yeah, I liked Cutter Gauthier, and was thinking that was going to be the pick. But I was, I'll admit it, I was cheerleading here. I was hoping that Lane Hutson was going to be part of that. Now, we're going to need a judge's ruling because Amy said no, but he'll be a finalist. He was a top 10 finalist, but he wasn't the hat trick finalist as they narrow it down to three. So we'll maybe give her half points for that.
Yeah, actually, that's a fair point. we asked a question in regards to special teams. So the Canadiens were 29th on the power play last season and 29th on the penalty kill, which improves this season. So this season, the power play was 27th, operating at 17.5%. The PK was 23rd and operating at 79%. So, Rick, I think the marginal improvement for both, right?
Everybody's right on this. It didn't matter whether you said power play or penalty kill. Everybody gets this one correct. Although Are you going to celebrate this win when the power play is 27th and the penalty kill is 24th?
Yeah. the final question and the context here was Brian Wild from Global News Montreal predicts that the Canadiens will have an 85-point season. The Athletic projects that the Canadiens will be in 31st place and have a 70.8 point season. Will the Canadiens finish the season with more or less than 80 points? And where will they finish in the NHL standings? So they are 28th with 76 points. My prediction was they will finish with 66 points and 29th in the standings. I don't know what was going on there, to be honest. None of that really added up.
Real pessimistic day when we did our predictions.
I was not feeling optimistic here. Rick, you said less than 78 points, but 25th. Amy said less with 74 points and again, 25th. So I think you and Amy were probably closer than I was on this.
Yeah, right in between, right? They finished with 76 points. I said 78, Amy said 74. So they finished right in between. When I looked at this and God love him, Brian Wild from Global News is very knowledgeable, great about prospects. Sometimes leads with his heart. And so, you know, 85 points I thought was a bit of a reach. On the other end of it, Dom Lecician and his game score model and all that at 70 points. And that model is usually harsh, a little bit harsher. So I think we did all right in projecting that the Canadians would experience an improvement and pretty accurately so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that was all 10, but we did have our bonus questions from around the NHL. Some of these are still pending, but I think it's going to be interesting to look back on and see if we regret any of these answers. But the first bonus question is, who will be the first coach fired this season? At that point, we're coming off of Mike Babcock being fired before the season started, so we did not count that.
That doesn't count, yeah.
Yeah. I said DJ Smith, you said Craig Berube, Amy said Greg Cronin. I believe we, like all of these coaches, did get fired. They just weren't the first ones to go, right?
So Jay Woodcroft was the first coach to go in Edmonton. Dean Evason in Minnesota was the second. Craig Berube, the one that I picked, he was third. And then just after Craig Berube, it was DJ Smith. So we both, you and I, got Berube. And Smith, I got it in the third slot. You got him in the fourth slot. So not the first coach fired, but we were kind of on track with who was, was in a precarious position for the coaching situation in there with their team.
Yeah, and Jay Woodcroft, I think, was a bit of a surprise at that point. We had some high hopes for Edmonton. Of course, they got into the playoffs all in all, but I don't think we were expecting them to be as bad as they were out of the gate here. So looking back at that, it kind of makes sense why we picked who we did.
For sure.
And the quizmaster who came up with all these questions said, Connor McDavid will win the Art Ross Trophy. Connor Bedard will win the Calder Trophy. But who will win the Vezina? And a little bit of a correction here. It ended up being Nikita Kucherov with the Art Ross.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, unfortunately. But doesn't change this next question. But who will win the Vezina? Still pending. I said Sorokin. You said Ettinger. Amy said Georgiev. I'm regretting my answer a little bit. I feel like it's going to end up being Hellebuck, right?
It'll be Hellebuck, yeah. And for some of these, a couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to participate in an editor's poll for the Hockey News. And my pick for the Hockey News at this time of the season, different from October, was Connor Hellebuck.
The next question also relates to an award, and it starts off by saying, without Patrice Bergeron in the league this season, who will win the Selke Trophy? And of course, Patrice Bergeron retiring was very timely news at the time that we recorded that segment. I said Mark Stone, you and Amy said Nico Hischier. Mark Stone's not going to win. He was injured for a good chunk of the season. What are your thoughts on Hischier potentially getting the Selke.
Well, I changed again for the THN poll a couple weeks ago. I changed my answer to Alexander Barkov. I think he's got the inside track there.
It's interesting because when we recorded that, you said you like Barkov for this, but then you did not pick Barkov.
I know, I know. I always trust your gut, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then the final bonus question is who will be the two teams in the Stanley Cup final and who will win the Stanley Cup? I said Edmonton versus Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh would win it all. Of course, Pittsburgh did not make the playoffs. Edmonton's involved, though. I still have Edmonton going to the final on my bracket. But yeah, that ended up looking a little bit silly at this point. Rick, you said Hurricanes win, and it would be Carolina-Edmonton in the final. So we agreed on Edmonton at least, and Hurricanes still in the thick of the playoff race, or in the playoffs, doing very well. Likely to move on, in my opinion, at least. Amy's prediction was New Jersey Devils versus Dallas Stars, with Dallas winning. And New Jersey, of course, along with Pittsburgh, did not end up making the playoffs. So the Stars still alive at this point. And Rick, it's looking like you had the best prediction so far, at least.
I like it. As you said, Carolina versus Edmonton final, with Carolina winning for the Hockey News a couple weeks ago. I just changed the one participant. I have the final as Carolina-Dallas, with Carolina still winning. I'm still thinking that Carolina is going to win. So that was something that I believed all season.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the sub question to this is who will secure the best odds of winning the NHL draft lottery. Now we know it's the Sharks. I said Anaheim. You said the Sharks. Amy said Columbus, and we're all kind of in the right vein, but Rick, you take this one home.
Thank you very much. I'll collect the prize at the end, whatever that is.
Yeah, and you know what? The Sharks, I think looking back, that was definitely the right choice. I don't think in my mind I realized quite how awful they were going to be. And the fact that they moved out Hurdle as well. I probably should have gone with the Sharks. Anaheim was bad, but, you know, the Sharks were just, they weren't even trying. It was obvious that Mike Greer was going for the best draft lottery odds, right?
It got, and you know, the value that I place, if that's the right word, on the goal differential, and yeah, how that sort of is a good predictor of the standings. The San Jose Sharks, the goal differential is minus 150 in 82 games. Oh. Minus 150, if you can
How?
Believe it. Exactly.
Yeah, feel bad for Mackenzie Blackwood there. He's a good goaltender, but yeah, man, just give the guy a chance.
Yeah.
So these were all of our predictions at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I think looking back with the context we have now, some of these we look pretty bad at. Other ones, I'm surprised at how good they ended up being. But it's always fun, and you have to put things in context, which I tried to do, because back in October, we didn't know half of what we knew right now. And I think that I'm looking forward to putting in our bold predictions for next season.
Yeah, we're going to do it again in probably the first week of October on the podcast. So let us know what you think of our predictions, if you had your own predictions. And then we'll check back with you again in the preseason to see what you're feeling. Then, as always, text us 24 hours a day at 5853 Rocket.
So are we tallying up points, or are we just doing participation trophies here? I think I'm happy with a participation trophy for all of us now.
All right, sure, we can do that.
Yeah, sounds good. So with that, just before we head into our final break here, our Canadians Connection question of the week is, who do you dislike more, the Leafs or Boston? We want to hear from you. Send that in to 5853 Rocket, and we'll take our final break. Stay with us. You are listening to Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadians Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanning. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The Rocket Sports Media team wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, log in to thn.com/Montreal. Your year-round source for anything Habs-related. That's thn.com/Montreal.
Welcome back to episode 293 of the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. You can follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, check out our website, CanadiansConnection.fm. And just a reminder here that you can text us anytime via the Rocket Sports text line. It's 5853 Rocket. That's 5853 Rocket. Eric, that was pretty fun to review some of those bold predictions we made at the beginning of the season, and certainly looking forward to the off season here as we transition our coverage.
Absolutely. I thought we all did pretty well in given the information we had. Our predictions were pretty spot on. And listen, we're not just grabbing things out of the air. We do our best to be in touch with people around the league that give us some information. So we're not out to be first. We're not out to be quickest. We're out to be the podcast that you can trust, and we're glad that so many of you do that, and we'll continue to do that over the off season.
For sure. So where can you find all of our content? Well, we cover the Montreal Canadiens for the hockey news, and you can find all that at thn.com/Montreal. All the Canadiens coverage in one place. And you'll want to make sure that you check out all of our feature articles and the notebook coming out throughout the summer. And also, if you're interested in our multimedia content, head over to our YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed to At All Habs. You can find it just that way. Hit subscribe, hit the notification bell, that way you never miss any of our content, and hit the like button if you like what you saw. On Mondays, you'll find the Canadiens Connection podcast, the one you're listening to right now, on our YouTube channel. Last week's episode is entitled What's Coming Next for the Montreal Canadiens, plus Season Grades, so head over if you haven't already and check that one out. And last Tuesday, the Rocket Hockey Report by Amy Johnson was put out as the Laval season came to an end. The latest episode is entitled Canadiens Goaltending Prospect Jakub Dobish Shining in Laval. Make sure you check that out. Amy does great coverage of the Laval Rocket throughout the season, and this was another great episode that I enjoyed listening to and watching quite a bit. I even left a comment on there, so if you have any thoughts or comments that yeah, for us or Amy, make sure you leave a comment, hit the like button if you like what you saw, and subscribe so that you don't miss any of these episodes. Coming up, we're going to do a live stream watch along. So we did this throughout the season for Montreal Canadiens games a few times per month. It was myself along with my Rocket Sports colleague, Nathan. And we thought, you know what? On Tuesday, May the 7th, we've got the NHL Draft Lottery. Our viewers, our listeners are going to be very interested in that. So why not watch that along with us? We'll provide some great coverage of the NHL Draft Lottery, some commentary, and lots of great topics. So join us on there. You can have the TV broadcast on one screen. You can open up YouTube on another screen, preferably a mobile device, so that you can join the live chat, and we'll give you excellent coverage. So make sure you mark the calendar, and better yet, hit the notification bell on our YouTube channel. That way you're notified of this upcoming live stream. Make sure that you subscribe to the Premier Rocket Sports Radio podcast on your favorite podcast app, The Canadians Connection. You can find every single episode as well at CanadiansConnection.fm. We'll be here throughout the entire offseason, so don't worry. Just because the Habs season has come to an end doesn't mean that we're going anywhere. We'll give you excellent coverage throughout the summer, and if you enjoy the show, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. That goes a long way in helping us out. We are your inside link to the Montreal Canadiens.
And we'd also appreciate if you'd share our podcast on social media. Tell your friends about it. We know that there's a lot of coverage that disappears over the summer. We don't. We're here. So make sure to tell your friends about the Canadians connection. We were talking in the pre-show about switch to the Canadians podcast, and you will win. We're still working on that. I was going to ask Michael to do a drum solo. I was going to ask him to do something. We'll work on that. There'll be something.
Yeah, I can't sing, but I can do a drum solo for you if you like that.
All right. We like that. We like that.
For sure. A little announcement from the Rocket Sports team here. Rick, we're looking to recruit a couple of great members for our Rocket Sports team. Passionate hockey fans, Canadians fans as well. If you have some sort of a talent, you like to write, you like to produce, you enjoy and you want to learn about podcasting, helping us out with social media as well. Lots of opportunities. So reach out to us and we'd love to have a discussion with you. Rick, what's the best way for people to do so?
Best way is really to reach out by email. You can text us, 585-3-ROCKET, but I'm going to tell you to submit an application via email, and that is hello@rocketsportsmedia.com.
And now it's time for our Canadians Connection question of the week. We ask, who do you dislike more, the Leafs or the Bruins? We want to hear from you. Of course, both of these teams are facing off in the first round of the playoffs. What's your ideal scenario, and who do you dislike more?
I don't necessarily like either team, but my dislike for the Bruins is much, much greater than it is for the Leafs. And I know that's maybe different from how you feel, Michael, on this.
Leafs suck. that's pretty much all I'm going to say there. I don't know. I never developed that same hate for the Bruins. Maybe I missed a certain era, but growing up in Ontario as not a Leafs fan, the Leafs are the number one hate in my heart.
I hear you.
So throughout the week, we received plenty of text, tweets, emails, and comments, and we got a great reaction from last week's Canadians Connection episode, episode 292. Our playoffs on the table for the Montreal Canadiens next season. And Rick, I'll let you read off this first comment coming from YouTube.
This comes from YouTube. It comes from she_26. She says, huge congratulations to Evans, Galley, Anderson on their summer weddings. I'm sure she'll want to chime in with congratulations to Nick Suzuki as well. She says, if Nick Suzuki keeps coaching and helping other players on the ice, at least they have a better chance of getting somewhere. Of course, she, 26, is not a fan of Marty St. Louis. In the playoffs, she said, I'm rooting first for Winnipeg, then Vancouver, then Edmonton. In that order, I'd love to see the Cup in Canada. That hasn't happened since 1993. As far as grades, grading some of the players, I think, at least for me, would be extremely hard, other than the obvious stats that you guys did. A coach that plays favorites with some players clearly not happy is going to affect the individual players and their game. I think that's the downside that stats can't analyze. And she uses as an example Ullinen, Jacquet, and Anderson. She, 26, goes on to say Matheson is a favorite of both KH and MSL, and that says it all. And a comment about Marty St. Louis. And finishes by saying, thanks again, guys. Interesting podcast, very informative, and honest opinions always matter. Thanks. We always appreciate your honest comments from She26.
Also on YouTube, coming from Habs and Nations, What they have to say is, I give the team as a whole A+ progression wise, excluding Anderson and RPH. So that, of course, is a comment based on some of the grades that we gave each individual player. And of course, this person very happy with the progression, with the exception of those two. And yeah, I agree with excluding those two from that A+.
This comes from Kerry Willett, Kerry Willett 961. Kerry says, General Manager John Sedgwick will make the final decisions in Laval regarding coaches and choices of experienced veterans, AHL veterans. I'm going to disagree with you there, Kerry. This summer is too important. The coaching decisions, we know that that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon have remade every part, rebuilt every part of the organization, from hockey operations, and the last season was the medical staff that they overhauled. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon are going to be involved if they want a change to be made in Laval as far as the head coach. John Sedgwick, yes, indeed, was named during the season when he got his contract extension, named as the GM. But he reports to Ken Hughes and Jeff Gordon. And if you know John Sedgwick, very much involved in contracts, very much involved in cap management. He's the kind of guy who likes to provide information, provide advice, be a consultant, and let others make a decision. So I see the decision coming from a little bit higher up.
For sure. So great comment there. We received a comment on Facebook coming from Glenn Ingram. And what Glenn has to say is, we can make the playoffs as long as we get a new goalie. So great comment there from Glenn. I'll agree with about half of that. I don't know that they'll make the playoffs next season, but I agree. Let's get a new goalie in there. A fresh face would be great.
Another comment from Facebook is from Bruce Mead. He says Hughes and Gordon will have to work their magic going forward. I believe that, kind of forecasting that something's going to happen, something big is going to happen, perhaps acquiring a forward this summer. And Hughes, the phrase that I've been using is, he's going to have to thread a needle this summer in order to bring folks in with the fans crying for the playoffs, while not giving up, the plan, the philosophy that they've built so far. Sorry, Bruce goes on to say, I think draft day will be interesting, and I think he's referring there to a draft day trade, a la Newhook, a la Kirby Doc, and Bruce could be right on that.
Zegras, no? We'll see. Yeah. We can talk about that
That'd
at another
point. That'd be a popular move, yeah.
So coming up this week, CH Weekly, today on Saturday, April the 27th, the Trois-Rivières Lions face off against Norfolk. It's game 5 and potentially elimination day for the Lions. If more games are needed, another one will happen on Sunday the 28th and on May the 1st as well. So look out for those, and we'll see how these Trois-Rivières Lions do. But for now, that'll be a wrap for us today. Thank you all for listening. Subscribe to the Canadians Connection podcast in the player or on your favorite podcasting app. You can also share it on social media if you like what you heard. Enjoy this week, and we'll be back here next Saturday on May the 4th for another great episode. Thank you for listening to Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.